Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. I want to begin reading at verses 10 through 13. Romans 14, verses 10 through 13. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I want to speak this morning on the subject of our judgment. Our judgment, what will it be like? Our judgment, what will it be like? This message applies to every single one of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse number 10, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Notice all, every one of us. Now, if you're not saved today, this is not your judgment that I am talking about this morning. If you're not saved, there is a horrific judgment described in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20 and verses 11 through 15 that talk about the lake of fire. And nobody makes it on that day. Nobody makes it on that day. It says the dead will stand before the Lord, that is, those that are not alive in Christ, those that have never been born again, and the books will be opened, and another book will be opened, which is the book of life. And the Lord will scan through the book of life for the names of those that are not saved. They will not be found in the book of life, and the scripture says they will be cast into a lake of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's called the Great White Throne Judgment. The judgment we study today is called the Judgment Seat of Christ. That's for the sinners. This is for the saints. That's for those who have become believers in Jesus Christ and have received Him as their Savior. Have you been born again? Has there ever been a time where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone for the salvation of your soul? For salvation from sins. There's actually three major judgments. There's the judgment on sin. That took place 1980 years ago when Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures on the cross. We are not going to be judged for our sins. Christ was judged for our sins. And He was made guilty for us. He was made sin for us. He died and He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Sin has already been judged in the body of Jesus Christ 1980 years ago. But very soon on God's timetable of events, the rapture will take place when the Lord will call all that have trusted in the Lord as their Savior to be with Him in the clouds, and so shall we meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's going to be a wonderful thing. But the very first thing that happens after what's called the rapture will be the judgment seat of Christ that we study this morning. And then after that will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then following that judgment will be the great white throne judgment that I described earlier for those that have not trusted in the Lord as their Savior. Let's focus now on our judgment. That is, those of us who are saved, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Verse 10 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Basically, verse 10, he's saying, mind your own business. Mind your own business. Don't judge your brother. Don't go around judging your brothers and your sisters in the Lord, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, verse number 12. Now this word, this phrase right here, judgment seat, in verse number 10, judgment seat, comes from one tiny little four-letter Greek word called bema. Bema, it's called the bema seat. And that is translated every time in the New Testament into the word judgment seat. The word bema literally means a foot breadth. A foot breadth. The bema seat, or the judgment seat, is referring to here a rostrum that was erected at mostly athletic events, where at the top of the stadium a platform was built whereby the judge looked down upon the stadium and watched the games, and those that were participating in the games to crown a winner and to see who actually ran the race lawfully or who would be disqualified. And then those that were worthy of reward were brought up before him, and they stood before the judge, and the judge placed upon his head an olive leaf crown that he had in fact won the event, that he had run lawfully within the rules, was not disqualified. And thus we have the word bema, which literally means a foot breadth. A foot breadth. Now the Bible says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all stand before the bema seat of Christ. We must all stand within a foot breadth of Jesus Christ. Now just to illustrate what that is, that's a foot breadth right there, according to our measurement. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're wondering how close you are going to be to the Lord Jesus Christ someday, that's approximately how close every single one of us that names the name of Christ, men and women, boys and girls, will stand before the Lord someday. That's pretty close. That's pretty close. If you laid that alongside a man's foot, you'll see where we got the word foot from. The word bema means a foot breadth. The word judgment seat means a foot breadth. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You and I are going to be very close to Jesus Christ someday in judgment. And it says, so we shall give everyone, verse 12, an account of himself to God. Now this word account means a reckoning or a score. It means to give an answer or an explanation. It means to present a narrative of one's life. We must all give, all, every one of us shall give a narrative, an account, an explanation of himself to God. So this is why we need to mind our own business. And don't worry about the other people in the church that aren't doing anything. You get busy for God. You be faithful to the Lord. Now what then shall we give an account of? I want to bring out three things this morning that the Bible says in general we are going to give an account of that day when we stand about a foot away from the Lord Jesus Christ and give a narrative, an explanation, a reckoning, a rendering of our lives from the time the Lord saved our souls till the rapture takes place or till we die and go to be with the Lord. There will be a reckoning made of all that time and what we did with it. I want you to notice, first of all, if you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, that number one, we will give an account of our works. We will give an account of our works. Now, I want you to understand very carefully, we are not saved by works, but we are saved to work. And I want to stress this for a few moments here. We are saved to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming soon, so get busy. Find something to do for God and get busy. For we will give an account. Now it says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat, there's the word bema again, of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body, whether to that he hath done, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Notice verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We labor so that when we stand before the Lord, we may be accepted of him. Now, of course, we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in his love. He receives us as we are. We come, we get saved. We are not saved by works. We are not saved by any merit of our own. Salvation is a gift. It's not a reward. It is a gift, not a reward. But we are saved. We are his workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Once we are saved, we ought to find something to do for God. This is spoken of so much about our accountability someday for our works. Let me read. Psalm 62:12, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the hearts, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Old Testament, New Testament, works, works, works. Reward according to works, not salvation. Okay, please don't leave the church today and say, I'm going to try to work harder so I can attain heaven. You can't. Your sins have separated you from God. You need to be saved from your sins. Trust in Christ and Christ alone, who died on the cross for you to save you, to give you eternal life. But then after you're saved, we should be so grateful for what he's done, that the next thing that should come out of our mouth was the next thing that came out of Paul's mouth, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? You gave your life for me. You shed your blood on the cross for me. You saved me. I'm not going to hell anymore. I'm not going to lake of fire. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And we will have a reckoning someday for our works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other. Nobody else can lay the foundation that Jesus Christ laid. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, notice, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed, it is tested by God's refining fire. These are not the fires of hell. These are the fires of judgment that are going to test our lives as they're presented to the Lord in heaven. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, from the moment the Lord saved you to the rapture or death, everything else in between, that you, all the days of your life and my life that we were children of God, will be tested by the fire of God's refinement in heaven to see whether it was pure works that we did for God or to see if it was wood, hay, and stubble that we did for ourselves or for man. And whatever is left from our life will be presented to God, and God will reward people accordingly, according to what they did for the Lord during the time they were saved. What are you doing for God today? What are you doing for God today? I want to encourage you to understand. Somebody once put it, and I think they did well. I don't know who it is. I think it's a great alliteration. But when it comes to this thing about our accounting of our works, the three T's, you've heard this before, our time, our talents, and our treasures. You can pretty much lump your whole life's work into those three words. What did you do with your time? What did you do with your talents? What'd you do with your treasure? God gives us all the same amount of time. The Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Be a good steward of your time. Use your time for God. Boy, we have so many time wasters we've got to battle with constantly in our world. Television and movies and just so much time wasters, especially in America. We have so many things we've accumulated. It takes so much time just to maintain them. There's going to be a reckoning of our time someday. You know, it's hard to imagine this, but for eternity, millions of years, billions of years, trillions of years, I think the next one's quadrillions, I don't know. Our standing in heaven, our rewards in heaven for all that time will be based solely upon what we did in this little vapor we call life. That's right here. One life 'twill soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. I read the testimony recently of Mickey Mantle, who got saved in the last couple of years of his life. Billy Richardson led him to Christ. And he wrote in his testimony appropriately he wrote how sorry he was that he had wasted his whole life living in sin and living in wickedness and not knowing all the time that Christ loved him and cared for him. And he got saved. I think it was within a year of his death or something. He was pretty sickly. He got saved. You know, I'm not picking on Mickey Mantle. He's going to be in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ and his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what will he have to show? What will we have to show? Our time, our talents. God has given you a gift. God has given all of us gifts. All of us. And we must take that gift that God has given us, that gift from the Holy Spirit, be a good steward of it, develop that thing, qualify to use it, attach it to some ministry, then get involved in faithfully and consistently using that gift to be a blessing and never quit. Our talents and our treasures. What about our money? I mean, We can just buy things and accumulate things that will someday go up in a fiery ball as this earth melts. Or we can set up treasures in heaven and give tithes to the Lord's work to keep the local work strong and to help the missionaries get out onto the field where they can do God's eternal work in Papua New Guinea or wherever they may be going. And there will be an accounting of these things. There will be a counting of our works. I want you to notice, second of all, there will be a counting of our bodies. There will be an accounting of our bodies. Here in verse 10, if you're still in 2 Corinthians, is where we should be. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 9, we saw there will be an accounting of our works. We labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. But notice verse 10 now, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I don't believe we're going to be judged for our sins. We're going to be judged for our works. I just gave you about 10 verses that said that. But I think this is where sin's going to come into the picture. By what we did with our bodies after we were saved. And I don't know about you, but after I was saved, I did some pretty sinful things with my body. But I had to repent and ask the Lord to forgive and yield myself back to the Lord. I'd like you to turn to Ecclesiastes and chapter number 11 in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Solomon speaks sarcastically. In verse 10, he speaks soberly. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, he speaks sarcastically. Let me read that, and then in verse 10, he speaks soberly. He says sarcastically in verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the ways of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And now here's the sobering part. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and notice this, and put away evil from thy flesh. for childhood and youth are vanity. He's talking to the young people. In the last 3 years of his life, I believe, Solomon finally regained his senses after going insane. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes based on his latter wisdom. It's a very sad book. But he says to the young people, go ahead, young man. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. Whatever you want to do in your heart, whatever's right in your eyes, you go ahead. Go ahead, young man. Do whatever you want in your youth. But you just remember this. God's going to bring in the judgment. Your youth's going to come up on that day. But if you're sober and you want to be right with God as we approach that day that is inevitable, that not one of us will escape, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and evil, put away evil from thy flesh. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He talked about how the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of the human body of a believer in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we like to believe that our bodies belong to ourselves. But our bodies belong to God. That's the outward. Our spirits belong to God. That's the inward. God makes a claim on every one of us, our lives, whom he has saved by the blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ. It says here, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Therefore, for you are bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Have you noticed, or is it just me, the satanic attacks on the human body today? The disregard and the disrespect for the human body today. Have you noticed that? I think someone's trying to keep us from getting a reward. The Bible says we need to put away evil from our flesh. Our bodies belong to the Lord. And we need to be good stewards of our bodies. We need to quit drinking. We need to quit drugs. We need to quit walking around half naked like we can do whatever we want with our own bodies. We can't do that. We need to watch what we're eating. We need to get enough sleep. We ought to exercise. We ought to take care of the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to give an account of what we've done in our bodies, whether good or bad. My, oh my, we have such a tremendous disregard nowadays for the human body. There's all kinds of fornication going on. All kinds of sex outside of marriage. It's all wrong. People will give an account of it someday to the Lord. God has called us to purity. He's called us to holiness in our bodies. And he says, put away evil from your flesh. That's repentance. Repentance. I know maybe some of you lived a horrible life before you got saved, but boy, after you get saved, your behavior is supposed to change. Yeah. Hey. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you to help you, to give you the power to change your behavior. And if you've sinned in your walk with the Lord, confess it to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we can't just go and do whatever we want with our bodies. So much lying today that has just prevailed in the spirit of the air. Have you ever heard people say this? I know you've heard this thousands of times. Well, a woman has a right to her own body. Yeah. You ever hear that? I've heard that thousands of times in my life. If I'm not careful and I let my guard down, I begin to think that's true. It's not true. A woman doesn't have a right to her own body. A man doesn't have a right to his own body. It belongs to the Lord. And we're warned, his body. You know, the Bible and the law warns us about printing all kinds of marks on our body and piercing our body. And people are going, I read a statistic the other day, 38% of Americans have been tattooed. Well, some of you have tattoos, I know that, but don't get any more.
Right.
Don't get any more. Realize you've learned the truth today. Our bodies belong to the Lord. And the devil's getting people used to receiving marks. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
He's getting people very accustomed to receiving marks in their body.
Why?
And someday he's going to mark everybody with a 666 in their right hand or in their forehead. I got to finish here. I want a third. What, our judgment, what's it about? That's what I'm talking about today. It's about our works. Work for God. Get busy for God. Do something for God. You know, like the old preacher used to say, man, if you're not in the midst of the battle, then carry bullets. Get some bullets to the front. Do something for God. Our bodies. Leave the church today with a holy appreciation for your body and say, I got to glorify the Lord in my body. I'm going to give an account someday to God this far away from Him. I'm going to give a narrative. I'm going to give an explanation for what I did with my body. Some of you, you got to battle through this, but you got to get over the cigarettes. You got to. I don't know. God can help you. Some people I've seen quit cold turkey. Others fought with it for years. But God can help you.
Right.
Some of you need to get out of the pornography.
Sir.
And all the lust and the filth. All this stuff going on nowadays. And by the way, it's just going to get a whole lot worse. The Bible says, let no man take your reward. Don't let any man take your reward. Someday I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus that far away from Him and give an explanation for what I did with my body after I got saved. And last of all, our motives, number three. In closing, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. You know, God is so good, He's going to be able to find something good to say about everyone. Isn't that something?
Hey.
You know, I think our churches would be better if we did that.
Yeah.
If we tried to be like God and find something to say good about everybody, then shall every man have praise of God. But I want you to notice the first part of the verse about the motives. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, that's the rapture, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. This is talking about the hidden, concealed, inward parts of the heart, the motives, why we did what we did. Man, God is a God that examines the motives and the spirit of the human race. We need to be careful, whether it's preaching, singing, working in the kitchen, taking kids to camp, driving a bus, going out to the fair, winning souls to Christ. That's a wonderful thing, but don't take the glory for it. His glory He doesn't share with another. Learn and practice how to deflect the glory back to God as soon as you can. I mean, it's nice when people express appreciation for you or what you did or something like that. But man, we got to deflect the praise and the glory back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember times in the past, this church, where some people gave some huge, huge sums of money to this church to keep it going. And I remembered how humble they were about it. I remember how secret they were about it. And I never forgot that. What an example. Don't ever tell anybody about this. This is between me and the Lord. And I hope we can all capture that motive. That what we do, you know, the Lord's a rewarding God. He says, if you fast in secret, I'll reward you openly. If you pray in secret, I'll reward you openly. If you give alms to the poor in secret, I'll reward you openly. God is a rewarding God. But it has to be in secret. In secret. You sing a nice special or something and somebody compliments you. That's great, but be very careful that you deflect the glory to God. Deflect the glory to God. If you're a good husband, good father, you got good kids, and somebody says, man, you got good kids, praise the Lord. But deflect the glory to God. God helped me by His grace. God educated me. God helped us to know what to do. And so on and so forth. We need to give the glory to the Lord. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer. We talked this morning about our judgment. What will it be like? Our judgment will be a judgment of our works. That is, what kind of stewards were we with our time, our talents, and our treasures? Our judgment will be a judgment of our bodies. Did we put evil away from our flesh? Did we live a separated life from the world? Maybe the world got used to all the drinking and drugs and smoking and carousing and fornicating, but we lived a separated life. And people say, why do you dress like that? Well, because it honors the Lord. It honors the Lord. Boy, our bodies are a sacred trust. Maybe you haven't been a good steward of your body up till today. That's why we have church, to correct us. We're not here to condemn anybody, but just today we just get things corrected. If we come and say, Lord, I haven't thought about my judgment someday, my body. I haven't been a good steward of it, and I want to repent, and I want to ask you to help me to be a holy man of God, a holy woman of God, a holy teenager. I read a statistic recently where 85% of those getting married today have committed fornication before marriage in America. The Bible says fornication should not be mentioned once among us as become as saints. There's not much preaching on that anymore. But we can go to God and get forgiveness. What a great God He is. Run to the Lord. Don't run away from Him. Don't be offended by the sermon this morning, but run to Him. And then what about our motives? In our hearts, the secret of our hearts, we made manifest on that day. The counsels of our heart, what we were thinking when we did what we did. Our Heavenly Father, bless now our invitation as we think of these things. Lord, I sometimes humanly wish what I preach wasn't true. Lord, it is. And it's not some figment of my imagination, it's the Word of God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God someday. Lord, help us now. As we apply this in Jesus' name, amen.